the borders, Vermonters, come down with your breeches of deerskin and jackets of brown, with your red woolen caps and your moccasins. Come to the gathering summons of trumpet and drum. Come down with your rifle at Grey Wolf and Fox.
And welcome, and Happy New Year. This is Radio Free Canada with your regular host, Kevin Annett, coming to you again January 1st of what is going to be a momentous year, 2017. We'll get into that very soon about why it is. We want to welcome back all your regular listeners and all the new listeners. We're here every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern at bbsradio.com/Radio Free Canada. You can also follow our work at the Tribunal website, itccs.org. And especially thank you to the new hatch of European listeners who wrote to me this week. And they are especially appreciative of our focus on the common law. It's a new concept for a lot of Europeans. It's an English concept, but it's actually a universal concept, the natural law, and how we live under the liberty given to us by the Creator, not by statute, not by governments. So that is actually something we're going to get into in a big way today with a concrete example of how people take back their power. Now, on the show, we've talked a lot about the problem. We've talked about and documented and diagnosed the injustices, the genocidal crimes, the day-to-day corporatized tyranny that is being imposed on people all over the world. Our focus now, of course, is what do we do about it? And we've been trying through various workshops and that to teach people in the common law. But, of course, democracy, if it's to be real, like anything real, has to go from thin paper to thick action. And we have two guests today who have embodied that. They're from Pennsylvania. They are citizens of a place called Grant Township in Indiana County. That's central west Pennsylvania. Beautiful country. Been through there once. It's quite spectacular land. And the two folks are Judy Von Chisholm and Stacy Long, their mother and daughter. Stacy is the vice chair and township supervisor for Grant Township in Indiana County. Now, Grant Township is 700 people, and Judy and Stacy set up a thing called the East Run Hellbender Society. Now, what that is, let me give a little bit of a background. In what is perhaps the nation's first law that legalizes civil disobedience, Grant Township in Pennsylvania passed an ordinance law permitting nonviolent direct action aimed at stopping local frack wastewater injection wells. Pennsylvania General Energy Company has sued the township to overturn a local democratically enacted law that prohibits injection wells. In 2013, residents in Grant Township learned that PGE was applying for permits that would legalize the injection well. Despite hearings, public comments, and permit appeals demonstrating widespread opposition to the project, the federal government, through the Environmental Protection Agency, so-called EPA, issued a permit to the company allowing the fracking wells. Now, in response, the Grant Township supervisors passed a law this year establishing two things: the right of citizens to clean air and water, and the right for local community self-government. What that means is that the right of the people to have final say through their local government supersedes state or federal law or the corporate interest controlling those other governments. Now, this is very exciting, folks, because what they're doing is they're putting into practice what we often talk about, which is the sovereignty of the people up against these corporate and governmental, big governmental bodies. And we're going to bring them on in just another couple of minutes. But, you know, we've talked a lot about three things: the right of self-government, the right of people to ensure the, you know, liberties of dissent, and the rights of nature itself. And what's really significant about the Grant Township action, as we'll hear today, is that even if the courts rule in the favor of the corporation, because it's before a federal court now, this whole case, even if a federal court rules that the fracking can go ahead, get this, the local law provides, quote, any natural person may enforce the rights and prohibitions of this charter through direct action. In other words, no, folks, the federal court order is null and void. Our right to local safe water and a clean environment supersedes any law. And so, in fact, in order to ensure that, the Grant Township folks brought in what's called a home rule charter, which gives them ultimate authority in their own community. Now, this is, to me, reestablishing what the heart and soul of not only America is and should be, but what any living democracy should be, and any living law, common law republic. And so, you know, it's almost like the corporation is saying, we have the right to nullify the sovereignty of the people, because that's the issue before the court. Now, this is going to be an ongoing series. We're going to have Stacey and Judy on, of course, today. But it's going to be followed by other interviews with them. We understand there's a documentary being made there. And also in the future, we're going to have other common law warriors coming on, you know, to show how this applies to us in any country, in Canada or any other nation. So very relevant to our whole struggle to establish the same kind of common law republic here in Canada. And again, if you want to write in after the show with any comments or thoughts, write to us, Republic of Kanata, that's K-A-N-A-T-A, republicofkanata@gmail.com. Reminding folks, of course, Kanata means our village, which is exactly what the Crown Township folks are saying. Our village is the beginning and the end of where the authority lies. And that's what we try to embody here on the show. So, again, I just posted something yesterday on YouTube, reminding folks of the four books we produced this year. The Crime Against Humanities in Canada, Murder by Decree, documented actually the counterreport to the government whitewash called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, Whistleblower's Manual, the book Unrelenting, which tells the story of this whole struggle, and then my kind of comic look at Canadian history, called History of White People in Canada. You can get all of those very cheaply, $20 and less, at Amazon.com and also at createspace.com. So please get those and, you know, get them into the library, because what tends to happen, especially on the West Coast, is we'll take our books into the library, and then after a week or two, they'll vanish. And then I go talk to the librarian, and I say, gee, what happened to the books? And they'll say, we don't know. We just don't have any record of these books. So go figure, folks. The censorship is alive and well, unfortunately. We have to counter that through our own actions. And by the way, if you're any of you listening in the States, we'd really urge you to go down there. They're looking for help. These are 700 people going up against the entire federal government and the corporation known as the Pennsylvania General Energy Company, which are trying to frack. And if you know anything about fracking, do a little bit of background research what that is. Fracking is, I don't know all the technical details, but basically, after pumping for oil, et cetera, they then reinject toxic waste back into the ground, and it gets into the watershed and causes, of course, a lot of sickness and death. And people have been resisting fracking all over the country, but as usual, they rely on the courts, and the courts, time and again, rule on behalf of the companies. Now, that's a big surprise. This is a way, the Grant Township Home Rule Charter is a way for local communities to get around government and courts by saying, no, we are the court, we are the local authority. So this is a real important struggle, folks. And also another reminder, in January 15th is the second anniversary of the proclamation of a group of patriots of the Constitutional Republic of Canada with a charter and a vision, a model by which people can start enacting the common law in their own communities in opposition to so-called crown law, which is a de facto and criminal institution, as we have shown time and again. And so we are going to follow that up with some interviews with people who have been trying to establish that common law republic across Canada. That's going to happen in 2 weeks, so please be sure to tune into that. Now, guess what? They're with us.
Hi, Mike Kevin. Lish.
Hi, Judy. Hi, Stacey. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having us.
I've been pumping you guys for the last 10 minutes on the air here about how, you know, the wonderful work you're doing. Let me just ask you both to kind of introduce yourself and say something about the campaign you're involved in. Go ahead, Stacey, if you want to lead off.
I live here in Grant Township. I'm an elected township supervisor. I serve as vice chair. I'm also the president of the East Run Hellbender Society. And that's who I am.
And I'm Judy Wanches, and I'm her mother, as well as sort of the one who this sort of fell in my lap, and we just couldn't let it go. So it sort of started from a notification from one of our supervisors, who's no longer a supervisor. But I...
You're our secretary.
I'm the secretary of the Hellbenders. I'm sure they call me the founder of the Hellbenders.
She's our queen mother.
Well, that's good. The mothers are important.
Yeah.
Another example.
So, We've been fighting this, and we're just all sort of, we don't think of anybody as having a particular job, but whatever needs done, somebody has to do.
How did this start out for both of you? How did the Hellbender Society come about? And tell us a little bit about the whole fracking debate going on in your community.
Well, it started out with a public notice, which is how it works in Pennsylvania. PGE, that's the gas company. They're called Pennsylvania General Energy. They're based out of Warren, Pennsylvania. They applied for permits with the Environmental Protection Agency and also the PA Department of Environmental Protection for permits to be allowed to put a Class 2D injection well within our township. And by law, that gets put in the public notices section of a newspaper. And, you know, not everybody gets a newspaper. So that clipping was actually brought to my mom, Judy Wunsch, is in here, by the existing township supervisor. And she had no idea what an injection well was, why the EPA was coming here. It was all just hugely mysterious. So you Googled stuff for a day or two, and then she got all the rest of us all riled up.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. She said, this injection well thingy sounds like it's coming and it sounds awful, and we have to go to this hearing. We have to be allowed to have this hearing. So,
okay.
And that was back in August.
That was in August.
August of 2013. Yeah.
So, Judy, you were the catalyst and you got folks out to this meeting. What happened?
Well, what was going on was we basically had to tell people what was going on. They didn't understand or know. We didn't even understand it. And it was in the middle of that. We had what we called the government shutdown, and it was difficult. You had to, for the EPA, you had to have enough interest for them to hold a hearing. So we had to get a hold of people and tell them, hey, we need you to come to this meeting. We need you to comment. We need you to ask questions. If we get enough interest, they will come out here to Grant Township, which we're very small, as you know. And that's sort of how it started.
The hearing itself was kind of, it's exactly what it sounds like. They hear you. Federal employees of the EPA for our district. Sat at a table in our own municipal building on the evening of October 28, 2013, and they heard every comment we had, you know, which the big ones were, how is this a good idea? Nobody here has any public water. Why would you put something that's being drilled so far underground with all these toxic unnamed things, with all these, you know, state protections on, you know, taking care of you, why would you come in here with this horrible idea? And they sit there and they take notes, but they don't respond to you very well. I do remember the one female agent was kind of like, she kept calling us you people. You people need to understand how much safer you are now than versus in the 80s, and you people need to you know, except that this is going to take place. And it was ghastly. It was just horrible.
So they couldn't really answer your questions, it sounds like. They were just there as kind of like...
Yeah, they heard us.
They answered them to a degree, and that was what was the purpose of the having the hearing. They called it an EPA hearing for residents to have their input, comments, and so forth. And then, of course, that all went to the EPA region. We're in Region 3. It's divided in regions.
Right.
And then they responded to those comments. And then they decided that they, that we had, after we got the response from those comments, which would be in the following March of 2014, if we didn't like their decision, which they said, yes, we're going to come in, we're going to put this in, you didn't sway us in any way, and you have 30 days to appeal. So,
in other words, the EPA approved the injection well.
Yes.
Kind of rubber stamped it?
Yes.
Yep, they did.
Okay, and so what did you guys do then?
We wrote an appeal. We didn't know what we were doing. We couldn't find a lawyer. You have like 30 days, but you really don't, because it has to be in their hands on the 30th day. But anyway, it's very difficult to find, and it's expensive. The ones who I did contact, the quotes were anywhere between $7,000 and $10,000. And Stacy and I just decided, you know, we're going to do it. They're probably not going to listen to us anyway. It'll be, at least we can delay them for a while. It took them all summer, and I think it was in the end of August where they denied our appeal.
Okay.
And by that time, you got to understand how this thing works. If they go through an EP, you have to get in. They have the gas company, PGE, I'll call them, Pennsylvania General Energy. They have to get a permit from the federal, which is the EPA, and then they have to get a permit from the state, which is the DEP, Department of Environmental Protection in Pennsylvania. So while this was going on, then the Pennsylvania DEP was also going through and deciding if we, you know, were going to get, if they were going to permit it, because you have to have two permits
for this particular project.
Now, what I wanted to know was, how did the transition happen? Like, you folks went through the system, you appealed and everything. At some point, you realized you need to bring in a local ordinance. How did it get to that point where you realized you had to take action in your own community?
Well, it sort of happened because we could sort of see the writing on the wall, and I remember saying, oh, my God, the deck is stacked against us. And I have reached out through email. Is there anybody can help us? Any suggestions? And
she called like our local chapter of the Legal Women
Voters, and she suggested CELDEF. So I called them, and that's when Chad Nicholson, the community organizer, explained to us that an ordinance, you know, it's your constitutional right to say, I don't want this here, which was difficult for us to understand. It was like, well, we just assumed if you don't want it and you say you don't want it, it won't happen. But that's not how it works. And
so that was the Environmental Legal Defense Fund.
We need to have an ordinance. And
Just to identify who, this was the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, right? They came in and
that's
helped
correct.
You folks?
Yes.
Yep. Now, was it, who had the idea to bring in the ordinance, like the Home Rule Charter and that, which, you know, kind of is really part of the story is the fact that you did that. Was that his idea, your idea? How did that come about?
Well, we had these meetings at the township, you know, to get this ordinance. You had to convince the supervisors that that's what was needed.
Okay.
You had to convince them that probably the government agencies aren't going to protect us. So once we convinced them of that and we had our community group going, which was the East Run Hellbenders, then we had to have meetings. The township had meetings once a month. And, of course, when the gas and oil company learned that we probably were going to write an ordinance, they got very whatever.
No good. Oh, yeah.
Riled up. And so they came to one of our township meetings and said, well, you can't do this. You're a second-class township. You don't have any rights. The second-class township code that you live under, that your township is ruled by, does not allow this.
You're kidding. So the corporation shows up at your town meeting and tells you what you've got to be doing, what you can and can't do.
Exactly.
Yeah, that happened. That did happen.
There were about five of them, lawyers from Pittsburgh.
And so
the
tried
owner
to bully you.
Of Pennsylvania General Energy, he was also there.
Right. So how did you respond to that? What do people do?
We were like, what? Who are you calling second class? Of course, this is how new we were at all this. We didn't even realize that that was the name. That was the technical and lawful term of our current local system of government. We are, Grant Township was at that time, a second class township. That's how we're designated, or we were designated because, you know, that's what we were at the time. Now we are a home rule municipality, as you know.
But
so they messed
sort
with
of
the wrong folks.
I know at the time, I was like, I don't understand this. So we did ask Chad and said, what are they talking about? He did explain it, and I said, well, how do we get around that? Or what can we do about that? If the second-class township has just certain parameters, one rule fits all, then what do we do? And then he told us about Home Rule Charter. We looked into it. We decided that was the following year in 2015.
Yeah. We decided we would be willing to do the work.
Well, and you got to understand, too, at this township meeting that these lawyers came to, they basically said that we're going to sue you in federal court. You cannot do this. You will lose because you're a second-class township.
And all we want to do is be your good neighbors.
And we almost died when they said that. So they did sue us in August of 2014.
Okay, now, was this after you brought in the Home Rule Charter?
No.
That was a year later.
Okay. So they go out, they go for the jugular. They bully you, and then they try to sue you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, they didn't try to sue us.
They did.
They threatened to sue us in that public meeting, and then later they did 2 months later.
Yes.
Okay. And you countersued, I understand, and said they were attacking your rights of self-government.
That's correct.
Constitutional rights.
That's correct.
Let me just read something that Canadians especially don't know a hell of a lot about. It's about self-governance. Right in your Constitution. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. It seems to me it gives you the right, guys, to do whatever you want.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Now, are you talking about home rule?
No, he's talking about our Constitution.
You're talking about the U.S.
Well, the United States Constitution gives the people the right to abolish government if it's working against their liberties.
Yes.
And create new government, and that seems to be what you've done.
Yes.
I should point out here that in the state of Pennsylvania, and all states are different the way they handle a home rule option, Pennsylvania has its own rule book and everything, and we did everything by the books.
Yep.
And, so home rule laws in Pennsylvania may differ from, say, those in Connecticut or in California or...
But the Home Rule Charter you brought in, was it in response to being sued? Was it because your backs were to the wall, or what happened?
It was in a response to the Second Class Township Code is a one-size-fits-all kind of governmental system. Grant Township was not at all protected from a corporation who has a long list of environmental violations. And there was not one thing in the Second Class Township Code that was actually looking out for the interests of the people of Grant Township in terms of being able to protect our environment and our water supplies.
Okay,
so that was something that was lacking, and that was something that we have written into our new charter now.
Now tell us about the charter. What is it? How did it come about? Like, what exactly is a home rule charter?
Well, ours is only 8 pages long. They can be as long as 500 pages. It just depends on who is writing it. There were 7 of us elected to, the voters gave us the chance to, we had to convince them that we needed to look at our government and change it because what we had was not working and it won't protect us with this. And so it was called a government study commission. And that government study commission can study what government we have, which was second class township, evaluate it, come up with recommendations, and decide, do we want to change this? Well, we did. We decided we wanted to change it. We wrote a new constitution or a charter, and it was very short. We kept all of the rules, didn't we, of the second class code in order to run the daily operations of the township. But we added things, and we kept that, and then we, of course, made our own charter. And it's only, 8 pages long?
It's 8 pages long. For instance, what is lacking in the second-class township code is a Bill of Rights. And, all of the major documents in the United States that define our laws and define, how we operate in our government, they all have Bills of Rights. And the second class township code did not give us that. So we now have a Bill of Rights, and it's pretty lovely.
Right.
You know,
another
thing that's amazing is you recognize the right of an ecosystem to sue in court.
Yeah.
You're giving the right of nature as well as the right of the people to govern themselves.
Yeah. Right. We prohibit the injection well in this charter. We include citizens' initiative provisions. We provide provisions for taxation, fair taxation, and we also have a first-of-its-kind town meeting process for passing emergency ordinances. And they voted for it, and in November of 2015, we had a home rule charter. We changed from a second-class township to a home rule charter. And at the time, we were the smallest municipality, but now our good friends up in Highland Township in Elk County, they just passed the home rule charter in 2016, and they have only 400 residents. So we lost our position as the smallest they are.
We don't care.
We don't care.
We were happy for them.
Well, I understand that there's actually a whole movement in the States of communities that Pennsylvania Community Rights Network.
Yes.
So these are other towns doing the same thing. You're not alone in this, right?
That is correct. I should probably tell you that I think I was recently elected as the vice president of the Pennsylvania Community Rights Network chapter.
Okay.
So I'm a board member of that organization as well.
Well, excellent. Well, so the issues that in other communities that are causing them to bring in the home rule charter, do they involve other things, or is it about, you know, fracking and the same kind of things you folks
are you talking about us or other communities?
The other communities, what are the issues that prompted them to bring in
the home
rule charter?
Some of them might be a pipeline, they might be sludge, they might be, other ones?
The basic problem is this. In America, and probably all of your listeners, and you know this very well, you know, America is really governed by money.
Yep.
And its ability to make money. And when the environment or people get in the way of the making of money, that's when things get sticky. And then all of a sudden, you know, the laws you find don't work for you and your environment and the environment. The laws work very well to protect the corporation's ability to make money. And that's the big issue. That's what a lot of this stuff is framed as a problem, like an injection well or a pipeline or a sludge factory
or a factory farm.
But really the problem is if a corporation wants to come into your community and cause it harm just so they can make
money,
outrageous profit, you find very quickly that there isn't anything really that can be done about it. The hands are pretty much tied.
They're tied by the federal law. They're tied by the way it's set up, and so this is a way around it. Is that it, pretty much?
This is a tool to work
okay.
around it, yes.
Okay. I got a Skype message from one of the listeners asking the question, does the Home Rule Charter take away some of the rights or the laws that the state would have in relation to your community? Like you're taking that back from the state, is that it? I mean, your ability to...
No. In Pennsylvania, the parameters of Home Rule say this, and I'm reading this right from the manual. The Constitution and the Home Rule Law grant a Home Rule municipality any power not denied by the Constitution, by its own charter, or by the General Assembly at any time.
The General Assembly is the people locally, right?
No, the General Assembly in Pennsylvania would be like the Senate and the
House.
We always Harrisburg.
It's our legislative body
for
Pennsylvania. It's called
the General Assembly.
Tell me then where things stand now. You've got your charter. How do people feel about it? I mean, are people feeling good that you've taken the step in your town?
We I know that. I'm elated. I still am. This was important work. This work needed to be done. We feel that, you know, again, we're fighting back with tools available to us, and we feel they are effective tools. They're not, you know, the magic bullet or the big prize, but, you know, we are lawfully working in the best way that we know how to protect ourselves so that we don't get squashed.
And Pennsylvania was slow to get on board with this home rule charter business. They didn't start till 1972, and there's 71 other municipalities in Pennsylvania, and we became number 72, and Elk County became number 73. And both us and Elk County, we're both being represented by SALDEF on this constitutional rights issue. And that's what it's about. Whose constitutional rights are more important, the corporation or the local government, the local community of people? Who should have a say in what happens right in your community?
Well, it's like two fundamentally different ways of looking at government. One serving the wealthy and the other serving the people.
Yes, right. That's how
what
we
kind
feel.
Of pressure are you getting now? Are you getting death threats? Are you getting
more
lawsuits?
Oh, my God, no.
What?
No death threats. No death threats at all.
No.
No, we're nothing really.
The only thing we get maybe is there'll be an occasional article on the internet or something that's associated with the oil and gas industry, and it's their take on us, and they call us names.
They say that we're stupid and
ridiculous.
Sure.
And preposterous, and I can take all that. That doesn't hurt. That means that we're hitting them in the right spots.
You got it. Well, is the injection well going ahead, or where does it stand now? It's still caught up in court?
Well,
yes, the court case is ongoing, but we did find out through a news article just a week and a half ago that, you should probably...
Oh, okay. The DEP permit, I told you we had the EPA permit went through, and the DEP permit, which we got stopped there for some reason. It was approved in October of 2014. We appealed it in November. We had 30 days. And then what happened was in March of 2015, Pennsylvania DEP revoked that permit because we had brought their attention to something they said they didn't know anything about. But we're wondering if that's the case. But anyway, they revoked the permit, and then we got our DEP hearing in June of that same year, 2015, and then in August, the DEP came out with, we're going to suspend review of that permit because we want to work on some things that were brought up in that appeal under the Clean Streams Law. So... that was a whole year of them reviewing it, and we just got word here by a newspaper article. The DEP is very bad about informing you in a proper way, I call it.
Yeah.
And anyway, they're about to make a decision. They're about to finish up review of that permit. So that was holding things off also, was the DEP permit. It was not approved. We'd held them off for 2 years, over
well, you
two
know,
years,
it's,
and that's
it's,
very unusual.
It sounds like because they know you're part of a bigger movement, they're going easy. They're treading kind of softly now because they know there's a lot of people with their eyes on you in the situation,
well,
right?
It's also the fact that, I mean, if you know anything about injection wells, these things are incredibly...
Incredibly toxic.
And Pennsylvania for a long time wasn't thought to be able to, the geology of Pennsylvania wasn't thought to be able to house these incredible toxic fluids within our prehistoric rock layers like Texas can or like Oklahoma can. And, well, you know what's happening in Oklahoma. Now they're the earthquake capital of the world or of the United States. And so what's going on is all of a sudden when Ohio starts suffering earthquakes, because they have many hundreds of injection wells.
200 or more.
Yeah. And a lot of the, most of the fracking wastewater that gets made in Pennsylvania gets trucked to Ohio. So when Ohio starts having earthquakes and problems, Ohio, you know, it takes less of the fluid. And so now all of a sudden, since Ohio is full up or Ohio is having a problem, now all of a sudden Pennsylvania looks like maybe a better place to house this stuff, which isn't really, it's just a dangerous and sloppy and underfoot.
Well, the EPA even admitted that they went this route because it was cheaper than treating it.
Right.
So, again, it's an economic issue. It's a money issue. The people be damned. You know, we got to take care of the oil and gas industry. We've got to take care of corporations.
And they don't have to take care of Mother Earth. They've got to take care of their own
exactly.
bank account.
You got it.
Yeah. Or the water supplies of a tiny rural community full of people who, you know, earn less than $35,000 a year.
Yeah.
You know.
We call ourselves the sacrifice zone.
Right. Well, it's encouraging, too, that same people, in, if this is true, are people in your community kind of united across party lines, party differences? This is a real community movement, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think they are with the injection well. They don't want the injection. It doesn't matter if they're Democrat, Republican,
yeah,
liberal, progressive. Nothing. That doesn't seem to matter to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's toxic. Now, there are some people that they're so loyal to the oil and gas industry, and they just, you know, they think we're crazy, but it's, I would say, a small percentage. Because 80% of the voters, when this went through, this home rule charter vote, went for it. It was like a 2-to-1 vote, which was, they said that was awesome. So, and then the funny thing was, in October of 2015, the judge had just ruled under the second-class township, okay, that the injection well would go through. We couldn't ban it. And then 2 weeks later, we passed home rule. We stuck it in the home rule charter and said it is now banned under our new government. So now we, you know, that went out the window as far as we're concerned. We don't know for sure, but, right?
Well, yeah, it's kind of appropriate this is going on in Pennsylvania. Like, it's like in Philadelphia in 1776. You've declared your independence in a way.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Pennsylvania is quite a hotbed of this whole, unseating of unjust government.
Well,
exactly.
It's now just started.
It's in your tradition. I want to ask you, too, let's say in court PGE wins. I noticed in your ordinance it said that regardless, any natural person may enforce the rights and prohibitions of this charter through direct action. So does that mean at that point you folks will, well, what are you going to do if the court decides for PGE?
We plan on enforcing our local law, which is it is illegal to permanently deposit fracking wastewater within our township.
And you'll enforce that in the face of a federal court order? Is that what you're saying?
In the face of the federal court order?
Yeah.
That what you're saying? Yeah, we are enforcing our local law because our local law is our local law.
Got it.
So we have to test it in court, I guess.
If someone doesn't like it, then they...
Because the direct action ordinance that they passed in, what, May of 2016?
April.
April. If the court fails to uphold the citizens' rights to stop this corporate activity threatening this community's well-being, the ordinance provides, quote, any natural person may then enforce the rights and prohibitions of the charter through direct action, and then they will be protected from any legal actions brought by private or public entities. So we went a little step further, our supervisors did, and enacted this ordinance to say, if you come and stand with us in front of trucks and tie yourself to bulldozers, you will be protected in Grant Township. You don't have to be a resident here. You can be from any place. Is that correct?
Well, you know, at that point, I think that's when the folks who were up at Standing Rock to stop the pipeline it's time for people all over the world to show up and do the same for your community, because you're doing more. You've drawn a sand on the line legally and said, no, the law is on our hands, not in the hands of PGE.
That's true. It is. It is.
It's an amazing step you've taken, and, you know, I'm always amazed how these courageous acts are always coming from very so-called ordinary people. You don't have a lot of power on your side, but you've got moral power on your side. And I think it's, we want to do everything possible to hold up your example, because it's what people need to be doing on any issue, really, you know.
That is exactly right. Well, can we call you when it comes to that? Do you have your bag?
Not only call us, we're going to cover it. We're going to be there.
Yes.
We're going to show up and be with you.
Yes. Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Yes. We're going to mobilize everybody we know. I already know some folks in Pennsylvania. I'm sure they'll be there already. But we really want to make this for many reasons, because of Mother Earth and our rights as people and our communities and the law. We've got to make this, you know, this is a place where we have to fight, like in your community.
It's the time for physical action has come.
And I think when this all started, we just looked at it as, oh, my God, they're going to screw up our water. We're not going to have any water. We're not going to be a community. We're going to have a real mess. And it evolved from protecting the water to protecting our rights and saying we have the same rights or better rights or more rights than a corporation. And they don't like it. They don't like it at all. But most communities just fold when they hear the word lawsuit. And I will give our supervisors credit. They just said, bring it on. So we felt, and I put this one time in an editorial, we felt more threatened by the injection well than the lawsuit that it was going to bring.
Right.
And that's basically, I think that's sort of where we're coming from. This injection well is saying, okay, if you can put an injection well in here, you can put a factory farm, you can do anything you want because you're a corporation. And hopefully our home rule will help us more with protecting our rights.
Ward, I wanted to ask you, you know, in terms of enforcement, are your local county sheriffs on board? Have the police showed any indication of what they would do in that situation?
That's in the works. We're scheduling meetings.
Good.
We just want to make sure that, you know, everybody understands where we're coming from and, you know, what the plan will be.
Good.
Because I don't think a lot of law enforcement around here, a lot of people, we didn't understand this process, so we were really in the middle of it all. Mm-hmm. And it's up to Stacy and JP and Mr. Darby, our supervisors, to get the point across to the law in our county or state, wherever they have to go, to say, hey, we have a law. This is what it says. It's your job to enforce that law, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
well,
we don't have a police department here in Grant Township.
We don't even have a town.
Well, you know, the power is the cops there are your people. They know you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone,
yeah.
Pretty nearly everyone here knows of who we are.
We learned a lot more when we did home rule, because we had to get in contact with people personally.
She means when we campaign.
You know, when we were trying to get home rule passed, we had to do some campaigning.
We did a lot of campaigning.
So we got to know more people we probably never would have gotten to know as well. And some were very skeptical, and I can remember one person when we were calling people and saying, you've got to get out and vote. This is very important. But we don't understand what it is. And the one guy, I thought he hit the nail on the head, and he said, well, who wouldn't want more freedom of choice? Who wouldn't want someone to, you know, not to be able to run your own town? Why wouldn't anybody want that? And I said, that's a very good point.
You know, one thing, too, I just wanted to, we've got about 5 minutes left here, but and I am going to have you guys back on again, but one thing is, you know, under the common law, and it's in the grand jury system in your own country there, that citizens can form their own courts. not only to do an investigation into something, but to actually form themselves as a bona fide court of record. So that's another thing I don't know if you've thought of, but in terms of forming a local common law court, so it isn't just your town council, but an actual bona fide court that can give weight to everything you're doing. So that's something also to consider.
That's a gorgeous idea. Thank you so much.
Local common law court.
Yeah, I'm going to send you stuff on that. We can talk more about it. It's right in, it goes back to England 1,000 years ago in Magna Carta. But that's what the citizen jury, the grand jury system in America is that, where people can be. I think the Chief Justice Scalia in the U.S. Supreme Court referred to it as the fourth arm of government, where the people themselves can be their own court if the courts are corrupt or involved in something criminal or something. So that's something that's very, very exciting.
It sounds like it's also pretty necessary.
I think so. Listen, I want to ask you folks if, first of all, I noticed on a Google search you can find a copy of your Home Rule Charter up online. You just put in Grant County Home Rule Charter and it comes up.
Grant County.
But is there a website for the Hellbenders or anything you want to share in terms of contact info or websites or anything?
Yes. Our website is it's constantly evolving, and we found that
that's an issue.
It has some issues, but the best way to do it is it's www.eastrunhellbenders.org, and sometimes you have to put a /WordPress at the end, which we're trying very hard just to say the .org. We, you know.
Hellbenders, where'd you come up with the name? That's an interesting name.
Oh, well, we have this sort of started, too. That's how we got our name, from the Eastern Hellbender Salamander. It lives in the Little Mahoning Watershed, and it requires very clean water in order to survive because it breathes through its skin. They grow to about 2 to 3 feet long. They'll live as high as 50 years. Some have been known to live as high as 90 years.
Wow.
They're a clear indicator of excellent water quality.
Wow.
And that's how we sort of got our name, was from the Hellbender Salamander. You Google it.
They're big and terrifying.
They look like a rock. Their face just looks like a rock. They're very shy.
A remarkable animal.
But they're awesome. They come from the dinosaur age. They've been around this long. That's another thing we're fighting to protect it also.
I bet you folks look kind of terrifying to PGE right about now.
Ow. Terrifying. That's
but anyway, it sounds like, it's just, words fail me. So let me just ask you if you have any final things you want to say to our listeners, contact info, or how people can best help you.
I have a couple of things, actually. I'll make them very, very quick. The one thing is my heartfelt, you know, thanks to anyone who's out there listening, who's really worried about us and concerned for us. That's beautiful and necessary, and it sustains us. But people really need to pay more attention to their local government. You know, your presidents and your prime ministers, those people have no idea who you are and what you need to, you know, run a nice, healthy, functioning life. It's your local governments. Go to your local township meetings. Go to your local city council meetings. Go to the planning meetings. Make your voice heard. Get names and numbers and call and bug your local politicians. I have a big list of our local politicians. I think it would be gorgeous for well-meaning and intelligent Canadians calling on the behalf of the Hellbenders. I think that would be just gorgeous. If you want, I can forward you that information. You
Please
can share
do.
It at a later time,
yeah.
Kevin. I'd love to do that.
I will do it.
Oh, great. Fantastic. The main question would be, like, what are you doing to help Grant Township?
Right.
That's what your listeners can ask our local lawmakers and our local commissioners and our local police.
Well, I'll tell you, next week on the show, we'll announce the numbers for people to call. If you send those to me,
I will send you everything.
Send you.
Okay.
When you
Judy,
lose
any
local
final
government
words?
Control, that is what happened in Flint, Michigan with the water. And the people lost their voice. And that's what's happening. When you lose your voice, then you lose your government and you lose your rights. and that's what happened to us. So we're trying to get back our voice. We're using, hopefully, the court system to get some of those, but we're not sure that that's going to work because our regulatory agencies, it's all about economics. They really care less about, you know, they just want to permit this stuff and legalize the harm. And
that's right.
We're saying that it's very important to watch what your local, what's happening locally.
Another thing is that the East Run Hellbender Society is on Facebook. If if you go into that, you know, that big narcissistic tunnel that is Facebook, we do have
Hellbender.
A page there. You can throw us a like.
Got it. Judy and Stacey, thank you, and bless you. And we will have you on again really soon. And for our listeners, we'll have more information, contact info next week. Tune in here, Radio Free Canada. Judy and Stacey, we'll talk to you very soon this week. Thank you for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Bye for now.
We rehearsed that.
Yeah, we could do it an octave higher if you want.
Next time, we'll have a whole choir.
Okay.
Thank
Good
you
night,
so
Kevin.
Much.
Thank you.
Okay, sisters, thank you. Judy Winchison, Stacey Long from Grand Township, Pennsylvania, showing us how to do it, one of the ways to do it. Take power back into our own hands. And if you want to have more input into that, if you want to get a hold of them, write to us, radiofreekanata@gmail.com. Be back here next week for more on this and other examples. We have a common law sheriff from Nevada who's going to be giving us information on how they're actually enforcing common law statutes in their communities. And follow us, itccs.org, murderbydecree.com. And until next week, you all stay strong and stay clear. Love you all. Talk to you soon.